Now, we tend to think of flavour as predominantly linked to our sense of taste, largely because we put food in our mouths, which is where our taste buds are located. But flavour is actually linked to all of our senses in a complex way, which is analysed by the deliciously fascinating science of neurogastronomy. It's a fairly new term combining neurology and gastronomy, which looks at how the brain creates flavour through a combination of biological but also emotional and cultural factors. And why do we care? Well, Bologna's annual Smell Festival this week has been running pre-festival workshops, including the chance to experience neurogastronomy firsthand. And whenever there's tasting involved, our Danny Mitzman's eager to take part.
Embarking on a sensory adventure, herbalist Marco Valussi has organised a selection of fun experiments to introduce us to neurogastronomy.
Chiudete il naso.
From closing our eyes and pinching our noses, then placing a mystery food in our mouths, to tasting a series of unknown liquids, to describing the smell of two different coloured drinks, the room is full of surprised faces and incredulous, amused reactions. We're learning that neurogastronomy is essentially the study of how the different senses come together and fuse to form the final perception of flavour. The predominant senses we use to do this are taste and smell, which have distinct neurological pathways. Although you might think we taste in our mouths but smell in our noses, Marco explains why that's not strictly true.
The sense of smell can be described as a dual sense, divided into orthonasal and retronasal smell, which means the way we smell something by sniffing at something, which is outside our body in the environment, and the way we smell something when this something is inside our body, mainly inside our oral cavity, which means when we smell something that we are actually eating, chewing. You cannot separate retronasal smell from taste because they happen at the same time and they come from the same origin, the food you're actually chewing.
And Marco describes an easy experiment to try out at home.
If we were to cut up an apple and an onion and make up small cubes of the two foods and put them in the mouth of people who are pinching their noses, they wouldn't recognise the apple from the onion. Obviously, if they were to chew it, they would recognise it because there's a difference in texture. But if they were just to suck on it, they wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But once they open their noses, then it is obvious that one is onion and the other is apple.
It's a phenomenon that explains why so many foodies will tell you that flavour is 90% smell.
We know that taste has five tones, five notes, which is sweet, salty, bitter, sour and umami, which is very poor in terms of power of description. While the olfaction, the smell, we can smell hundreds of millions of different stimuli or different smells. So it's quite obvious that when you put together the two, the final sensation is much, much richer than when you just use five descriptors.
It's a concept I've experienced many times firsthand. Whenever I get a cold, I lose my sense of smell and consequently the perception of anything more than those five basic taste notes. It ruins the pleasure of food in a way I describe as eating in black and white instead of glorious technicolour. But important as smell is, it's not the only sense which combines with taste to create flavour perception. When Marco confronts our group with two glasses, one containing a white juice, the other a red juice, we're surprised at how much visual perception also affects flavour. I was convinced that it was the same juice, and yet when I smelt the red one, it just smelt stronger. It smelt the same, but to me it smelt, the white one smelt less intense.
Because we look at what we should at least look at what we're eating, and the colour and the appearances of the food would determine our expectancies towards this food. If we see a drink that is deeply coloured, we tend to think that that drink will have a deeper flavour. And so when we drink it, we expect, and partly we taste a deeper flavour than with a lighter drink.
I think it made me more sensitive, not necessarily surprised, but more sensitive to the fact that we do change our perception if things are a different color or if we're not smelling at the same time as we're eating. So I thought his experiments were very, very to the point and effective.
È stato molto interessante questo corso.
This course has been very interesting. I've discovered lots of things about the sense of smell that I didn't know, like retronasal smell linked to flavor. And all these mental associations we make with colors and scents, which I didn't know and which are unconscious.
Colori con i profumi e che non conoscevo, sono inconsce.
And just in case you think we don't use all our senses for flavor perception, think again.
When you're eating crisps, the sound, the pitch of the sound that the crisp makes when you break it in your mouth determines in part the sensation of freshness of that crisp. So in experiments, when they give you crisps which make a lower pitch sound, you tend to think that the crisp is not as fresh and crispy and therefore good as another one which have a higher pitch.
So what, crisp manufacturers have studied this?
Yes, they have.
But some of the most fascinating aspects of today's neurogastronomic discoveries have been the huge impact social and cultural factors have on our perception of flavour, creating a sort of mass mind over matter. This becomes really interesting when we start to enjoy foods which, by the laws of nature, we shouldn't. Things like chili pepper, which burns our mouth, or moldy blue cheese that smells like dirty feet.
We learn that even if at the beginning the cheese seemed really awful, but everyone else was eating it, then we think, well, then it must be good. And we start eating it and then we start to enjoy it. So again, it is a cultural thing and a family thing because we participate in a social group and that social group teaches us what is good and what is bad. For example, bitter taste is universally recognized as aversive. No newborn baby would appreciate bitter taste. But many of us do appreciate bitter drinks. We drink beer, and beer is bitter. So we learned that we could drink beer, and actually we learned to love it.
So deeply ingrained biological reactions can be overcome. But Marco Vallucci warns that we can take the science too far. And if we do, our natural physiological reactions will return. If you've ever eaten an extra hot curry after a night out at the pub, that's one neurogastronomic experiment you'd probably prefer to forget.
Danny Mitzman there in Bologna.